listening
to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. Welcome to the 71st episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
And welcome back, welcome back. On today's episode, we're discussing some films that feature male friendships, The Triangle and The Ritual. 2016's Triangle, by the way, not 2005. There was a little bit of confusion of that on the interwebs last week.
Makes sense, because I know when I went to go watch this on Amazon, right?
Yeah, they're both on Amazon, too.
The image was a little different.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had to go back and forth between the two and make sure that I was like reading the same one or watching the same one.
Sorry about that. I probably should have mentioned that last week. But the 2005 is about the Bermuda Triangle. It's also a horror movie, and I've also heard good things about it, but not the one we're discussing today.
No.
For you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. The Triangle is streaming on Amazon, and The Ritual is on Netflix, so feel free to check those out before continuing if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener. Tripping up a little bit. Just a little. Not as much as last week.
Nah.
Last week, tripping up all the words. I don't know if anyone caught it.
People loved it.
I was so drunk. At the end of the... I don't know why we did that. I know a lot of people enjoyed it. I was not feeling great the next day. I'm not going to lie about it. But yeah, at the end of that episode, if you were lucky enough to catch it, I actually say, I, Amy. Not I'm Amy. I became a cavewoman at some point. And
or an Apple product.
Or yeah, maybe. Maybe.
That's true, I mean, Carly. Either or.
Good point, Carly. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But anyway, before we jump into our movies today, let's get started with a segment that we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
And you're welcome.
Today's trailer is Piwacket, I think.
That's right.
Is that how you pronounce it? Piwacket with a release date of March 23rd, written and directed by Adam McDonald, who wrote and directed Backcountry. I think it's just a regular release. Probably VOD, I'm guessing, because they don't even have a trailer up on IMDb yet. But the IMDb summary is, a frustrated, angst-ridden teenage girl awakens something in the woods when she naively performs an occult ritual to invoke a witch to kill her mother. So, yes. Carly, you picked this trailer. So why don't you take the lead here?
I was just made aware of it by the Brooklyn Horror Fest, and apparently, like, this movie's getting a lot of really good buzz, and so I'm really excited for it. It's an IFC Midnight. Do those usually get theatrical releases, or are those usually straight to VOD?
No, I feel like, I don't really know, but I feel like they're VOD, but don't quote me on that.
Oh, okay, so I just looked it up on IFC Midnight's
Instagram
page.
You could do that,
page.
Too.
So it's coming to select theaters and VOD.
That sounds
so
about
both.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been getting really good buzz, and so I was just like, I had heard about it a little bit ago, but then, you know, when I kept forgetting about it whenever we were gonna record, and so yeah, I wanted to make it a point to like get ahead of this one, I guess.
All of the trailers we've been doing are like March release dates, and I'd say the ones we're most excited about seem to have March release dates.
Yeah,
so something's going on in March, I think.
Whatever it is, I'm in.
I'm really stoked to watch all these movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm stoked. I think it looks great. Got like the teenage girl occult thing. But it's like, I don't know. There's a creepy witch involved, and I'm in on it. We love witches here on Final Girls.
So. We do. We are fans of the occult.
We are. We enjoy things about the occult.
Yeah.
And witches in general. Yeah. They're all,
especially like teenage witches.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And then.
Of course. Who doesn't want to be a teenage witch? Is really.
I mean, I did.
Yeah. Everyone 100%. Does. 100%. Yeah. It's awesome. I'm into it. It looks creepy. It definitely has like some scary shit happening.
And it has the lady from Walking Dead in it.
Yeah.
I don't remember what her name is, but that lady plays the mom.
Was it Grace?
No.
No. I don't know who she is.
She was the one that like shacked up with the governor in season three.
Oh, yeah. I think her name was Grace. No. It's not
who
Grace.
Knows? I don't remember.
Okay. either way. I think it looks good. I'm into it. It doesn't show a lot, which is a good thing usually, but could be a bad thing. We'll see. But if it's getting a lot of buzz, then I'm encouraged by it. I have had good experience with IFC Midnight films in the past.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. If I get a chance to see this movie in theaters, I'll probably make the extra effort to do that.
Same. Although I'll probably wait for VOD because I've been kind of agoraphobic lately. And not.
You don't even need to wait because it's the same day. So you'll just know.
That's true. It's true. I wonder, well, I just mean like if I'm going to have to pay for it or if it's going to be like on Netflix or something. But we don't know yet.
That's true.
Okay.
Fact.
So what do we got first up, Carly?
It's my turn now. Mm-hmm. We are going to start off with The Triangle from 2016, written and directed by David Blair, Nathaniel Peterson, Adam Pittman, Andrew Rizzo, and Adam Stillwell. The IMDb summary is, four filmmakers take their cameras into the Montana wilderness to document the mysterious inner workings of a young community with a giant secret.
So this is your first viewing of this film?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? I'm really curious.
I really did.
Yeah?
Yeah. I really liked this film. And then after reading how it was filmed, I like it even more.
Mm-hmm.
I love when filmmakers do things like this. Yeah. They don't have a big budget, but they want to make this film. They have a great idea for a film. And so they just kind of like throw this kind of guerrilla style filming together and like go for it. And I really liked how they separated the directors and, you know, one was in charge of the cults, one or like two were in charge of the cult, two were in charge of the just like going in and, you know, figuring it out as it goes along. And I mm-hmm. think that that is so clever and it really allows everybody to just be authentic. And in found footage or documentary style films, that's so important because it can really make or break films in general. So I was really excited about this movie.
I'm glad that you liked it so much because I thought you would like it. But then when I rewatched it, I was like, maybe she won't like it. that's why I was like, oh, you have to read this article on how it was made, because I think that will make you appreciate it a little more. But I do think it's a really good film. I think especially the beginning of the film is very exciting. I find it very exciting. I feel like I'm going on the journey with these people and I'm with them.
It made me want to just road trip, like the opening scene with all the like.
Yeah.
I was just like, I just want to go drive. And I was like, that looks like Idaho. That looks like this. I just want to drive in the middle of nowhere.
To Montana
for no reason.
To visit a cult.
Yeah.
I will say that I definitely had moments watching this where I was like, I want to join a cult.
I was like, I would totally want to live off the grid. And then I was like, well.
So basically, for those of you who haven't seen this film, which I'm assuming are quite a few, I do recommend you go watch it, though. It's very good, but it's not super well known.
I think you should definitely go watch it. If you haven't, if you haven't seen it, I probably wouldn't finish this episode. I'd go watch it first.
Yeah. I mean, I think spoilers are okay, though. I mean, it's not going to completely ruin your experience. It just makes it a little bit more enjoyable. But yeah, so basically these friends get a postcard from their friend who's been gone for 3 years and says, come visit us. I have a great subject for a documentary. If you want to come visit us, meet us here at this time, and we're going to bring you to our location. So what would you do in that scenario, Carly? Would you, if you got a postcard from a long lost friend saying, I have a great subject for a documentary and you're a filmmaker, would you jump on that train?
It depends how good the friend was before they disappeared. I have some friends or acquaintances that I sure as shit would not.
See, now I need to know if you would do this for me.
Oh, absolutely. I trust you, though. Like, I don't feel like you would put me in harm's way. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like no matter who tried to brainwash you, I feel like murdering your friends wouldn't be something that you default to at any point in time. Some people that I know could really go either way. So maybe I wouldn't for them, but for you, I totally would.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would too. It's fun. It sounds like a lot of fun. And I really like how it's a community. You get a creepy vibe definitely mm-hmm. at first, but I think quickly you come to feel like this is a good thing. Like this is a good place and the people are of sound mind and really are just trying to live naturally.
Yeah.
They're basically modern day hippies, which I can get behind. I definitely, there's an alluring part of this, right? Living off the grid, living mm-hmm. without technology and social media and having to read garbage news every day. Like there's something alluring about just moving out into the middle of nowhere and living off the land. It's also incredibly frightening and has its own list of terrors behind that.
Yeah.
But I like how it doesn't follow the same suit as a lot of horror films that talk about cults are, where you do feel a good sense of community here and you like the characters and you like the people in this community. And they might not all like you, but everyone seems realistic and not brainwashed.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was a good balance between characters being open and then obviously being closed off. And then there were some people that like made you feel very calm and at ease. And then some mm-hmm. people that you're kind of like, well, that guy seems kind of crazy. I think that they did a really good job just really building the fact that I believed that this could be a real community.
Yeah, 100%. I really, really liked it. And like Carly said, the way they film this is really smart. The directors are all in on it, but not everyone
knows what's going on.
Yes. And the characters are, you know, real people playing themselves, but are kind of given direction. But mm-hmm. that's it. And the characters only know what the characters would actually know in the film. So right. like, if I'm playing myself, I would only know what my character needs to know. I wouldn't know anything else happening outside of my own personal journey. Right. So the reactions are genuine and that's really cool. I think that's
everything
a really
was only shot
movie.
Once. They didn't like yeah. reshoot anything.
Yeah.
Which I think gives it a really authentic vibe as well.
Sure. Well, I mean, you can tell they didn't have a big budget, but they still seem to do pretty well. Everything
they built that
looked
whole
really good.
Community. Yeah, everything. Like, I believed everything.
Yeah, they had, like, legit setups for how this community would live and how they're, like, growing and what they're trying to grow and what they're trying to add to their community to add value to it. I really thought they did a fantastic job. Now, it is basically first-time filmmakers with a shoestring budget, and so there are little things that go along with it that maybe I didn't love as much the second time around. The ending, mm-hmm. there were things that I feel like could have been stronger story-wise, but all in all, I think it's a really fantastic movie.
I was definitely expecting the ending after hearing, like, the dream.
Sure.
You know, I was like, okay, well, there's only really one way that this is going to go.
I just think that the dream could have been a stronger voice in the
film. I agree with you, 100%.
Yeah, like, I feel like I knew more about the dream. I wish I knew more about the dream. I'm not really sure where the Tyrannosaurus head comes in.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a strange choice.
Like, I feel like Tyrannosaurus. It'd be funny if it's just something that they like found in this mountain and they're like, right, let's base this film on like this, yeah, weird thing,
yeah,
on this
maybe
Tyrannosaurus skull that we found in a cave in a mountain.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that came to be or what that's all about. I know that Adam Stillwell has a relationship with Luke and Jacob and has been on the show and has written for Modern Horrors before. In fact, a lot of the information we gained is based on that article he wrote on Modern Horrors. I really recommend going on, after watching this film, going on modernhorrors.com and finding that article that Adam Stillwell wrote, because he really goes in depth about how they filmed and the behind the scenes and how it all worked. It's a great article. Yeah, it's a really fun thing to do, is to watch this film and then read that article. It's, I don't know, I really enjoyed that whole thing. That's why I told Carly, like, be sure to read this after you watch the movie. You're going to really enjoy it. Yeah, and thank you, because
it definitely gave me a new, like, I liked the movie previously, but it gave me another appreciation for it, for sure.
Yeah. So, all in all, go check it out if you haven't already. We don't need to spoil. There's nothing really to spoil, but basically there's no bad people in this film. There's no, you know, there's no villain. There's just nature and some weird mysterious things happening, and
everyone just trying to figure out their shit.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I liked it. I think they did a really good job, and it's encouraging to see things like this, you know, from people just really wanting to make movies.
Yeah.
You know, they all had work day jobs when they were creating this. Like, this is a legit thing. Like, it's really cool. It's really cool they were able to pull this all together and do this all themselves.
So, I love that it was shot over 5 days.
Yeah. Super quick. Well, I mean, if you're working, you have to.
Yeah.
you can't take like 2 months off to film a project.
No.
You gotta fucking figure that shit out ahead of time and be ready to go.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think that's it for me.
Yeah, that's, yep.
So before we jump into our next film, just a quick ad for BarkBox. Have you guys tried BarkBox yet? I mean, we've mentioned it a couple times on the show.
And how much I love it.
Carly fucking loves it. I'm still waiting for a kitty cat version.
I can't push BarkBox. And Leia's chiming in here. Perfect timing. Yeah, I can't recommend BarkBox enough. It's a phenomenal. It's hilarious. Your dogs will love it. You'll love it, because everything's just like really cute. And I just really recommend it.
If you're interested in trying it, it's a subscription box for your dog where you get cool treats. Losing my voice. You get cool treats and toys for your dog every month. If you'd like to try it, go to getbarkbox.com/finalgirls, and we get a little throwback if you try it out. So do that, and it helps us out. And
you won't regret it.
We're so good at commercials.
Nailed it.
Thanks.
So natural.
I'm so good at it. Okay.
Moving on.
Let's move on to 2017's The Ritual, directed by David Bruckner, who we've spoken about previously when we discussed Southbound and VHS, written by Joe Barton and based on the novel by Adam Neville. The IMDb summary is: a group of college friends reunite for a trip to the forest, but encounter a menacing presence in the woods that's stalking them. So David Bruckner did Amateur Night, that VHS segment that's my absolute favorite.
That's
the one with the girl,
the demon girl,
a flying thing.
Yeah, she's real creepy.
She's so fucking creepy.
She still haunts me in my dreams.
I know.
Get out of there. Yeah. I don't like it.
So David Bruckner, he's good. We like him. We've discussed him before. But this is like a step above the rest.
When I first started watching it, I got very heavy Descent vibes.
Yes.
But like male Descent vibes.
Mm-hmm. It's like a man's version of The Descent.
Yeah. Yeah. With like otherworldly monsters instead of like gnome people, or not gnome people, mole people.
Mole people.
Gnome people would also be terrifying, maybe. and then we have our friend Thomas from Downton Abbey.
Yes.
Which I was really excited about.
And it was driving me nuts the whole first time I watched this, because I was like, who is he?
It's Thomas.
What do I know him from? And then I was like, oh, it's Downton. But he, you know, he's not wearing a butler's outfit. So
no, he's like, he looks like a normal human.
He looks very handsome.
He does look very handsome. He reminded me a lot of Christian Bale in Terminator Salvation. And I kept just being like, they have very similar hairlines.
It's a weird choice. It's a weird thing to say.
I'll send you an image. It's very true, though. Okay. But what did you think of this movie?
I really liked it. This is my second time watching it, and I still really enjoyed it. Definitely caught a couple extra things the second time around. I really enjoy films that show friendships like this. I think it just feels like a really the relationships feel very tangible and realistic, and I really liked it. I didn't feel like any characters were very overdone. A lot of times when you have a lot of friends in a film, it's like, this is the this friend, and this is the that friend, and this friend is like this. And there was a couple of those, like, I think Dom probably is the most.
But like, I know a Dom. Like, it's still very authentic. You know what I mean? It's still like the guy that complains and that like bad stuff just kind of happens to him because it's just like
me. That might be me. I would like to think that I'm a Phil, but I'm really a Dom. Because, like, Phil's only kind of annoying. Phil's like, oh, I'm totally wearing the wrong shoes.
Yeah.
But Dom is, like, whining the whole time. Like, I like to think that I'm a Phil, but I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm definitely a Dom. I'm the worst. I ruin everyone's good time.
Oh, that's great.
It's true. It's fact.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm working on it. I'm working towards being a Phil, you guys. I really want to be a Phil. Did you notice that Dom kind of looks like Bubbles?
Yes. You didn't even need to say anything. I knew exactly where you were going.
You said Bubbles before I did.
Yep.
You guys aren't familiar with the Trailer Park Boys.
Get on our level.
It's from Trailer Park Boys. Guy looks like Bubbles.
No, he totally looks like Bubbles.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of. And I was like, he's of like course the bad stuff's happening to Bubbles.
He kind of acts like Bubbles a little bit. It's the glasses and the hair.
God. That's so funny.
Anyway, so I really enjoyed this film. I think it's creative. It's really fun. I think it looks really great.
It looks beautiful.
We have a very interesting creature we're dealing with. I also really wanted to say that I think it's really awesome, and I'm very jealous that when you live in England, you can go on holiday and just go to any country because they're all like right there.
Same.
It's like if we want to do that, it's like, okay, you can go to Mexico and Canada.
Mm-hmm. And it's still a drive.
And anywhere else is going to cost you $1 billion.
$1 billion. All of the dollars.
I know. They're like, oh, should we go to Sweden? Oh, should we go here? It's like, they can go fucking anywhere. Jesus.
I'm like, I have to plan that a year in advance.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh.
So we have a main character here. His name is Luke.
Mm-hmm.
He's by far the most central character. It's mostly from his point of view.
Yeah.
And he's dealing with some shit. His friend died.
In front of him.
In front of him, and he didn't do anything to stop it. So he feels a lot of guilt. And it also seems like his friends also, and people surrounding him also, kind of blame him for it. Which I think is totally, maybe it's realistic, but I don't
think it's fair.
I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's his fault at all.
It's like, I mean, what do you even do in that situation?
Yeah, what was he supposed to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, the guy that died was kind of a moron.
Yeah,
just give the guy your fucking ring.
Like, obviously, your wife wants you and not your wedding band.
Yeah, why are you fighting the guy that's going to kill you with a knife about a wedding ring?
Yeah.
It's a symbol, not the only symbol. You can go out and get another one.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, dude, just give it to him. This is going to end poorly for you, even though like I knew what was going to happen, because obviously we wouldn't have had the same trip. We wouldn't have had the same movie had that gentleman not perished.
So basically, they're all trying to figure out where they want to go on holiday. The guy gets killed, and he's the one that wanted to go on this camping adventure. No one else really wanted to do it. So, of course, they go on the camping adventure for his memory. And Bubbles gets hurt, and they have to go through the woods, and then all hell breaks loose.
Yep.
Although, I don't think going through the... Would you have gone through the woods, do you think?
I probably... Well...
I feel like I would have just set them up in a tent with someone else. Two of you stay here. The rest of us will hike and get help.
I guess it depends on how sure my friend was about going through the woods. And if I was like going with a hiking expert or something, and they were like, oh, well, we can just cut through here,
but
and it's
no
a shortcut.
One there was a hiking expert.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. This is me and the way that I think.
Well, sure.
In my brain.
If someone has done that before and felt comfortable doing it, but in this specific scenario, it didn't really seem like anyone was very sure.
Yeah. But I also wouldn't there wouldn't really necessarily, if I had a map and I was like, okay, well, if we cut through here, and this makes sense, maybe, I don't know, who's to say? Because I'm not like, oh, there's going to be extraterrestrial things, even though that's probably what I would think, because I'm just like crazy like that. But, you know, in real life.
See, I wouldn't.
It probably would have made sense to just cut through the woods
in general. Like, the woods are scary. It's a scary place. You stay around the woods. Or you go not very deep into the woods. I wouldn't want to go through the woods, especially woods as deep as those.
I will say, though, once coming upon an animal in a tree, I probably would have been like, cool, we have to turn around. I wouldn't have even made it to the cabin, because I would have seen that and been like, not going any further. Let's go back into the open plains area.
Agreed. Once you see that, how are you going to keep going?
Yeah, no, I don't care how long it's going to take us, like how many days we're going to lose. Like, we're going back to the plains area.
And when they got to the shack, oh my God. Okay, so the shack is by far, to me, that whole scene was the scariest part of the entire movie.
100%.
It was so well done. I wanted so much more of that. It's just such a fantastic, fantastic scene. They come across this shack and it's downpouring and they have to go in. They want to get shelter. They want to warm up. And it's the creepiest shack ever. It's definitely a Blair Witch house.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I'm sure it was influenced by the Blair Witch a bit.
Yeah.
And the guy goes upstairs and there's this hay statue creature thing. And it is terrifying. I don't think I could stay there.
Oh, no.
Oh, we'll discuss it more during our social media question. But holy shit, this thing is creepy.
Yeah. If I stumbled upon that, nope.
They stay the night. And then they have these... By the way, if you haven't seen this, we're going to spoil some shit. So just FYI.
all the shit.
They all fall asleep. And these... They each have different nightmares, which we don't really know what's in everyone's nightmare, but we come to find out that probably it's just showing how they're going to die in the movie, because
that's what we get from Bubbles.
Yeah, Bubbles gives us those clues. But it is they're obviously all super freaked out, but acting like they're not super freaked out.
Men.
Fucking, yeah. Well, it's the patriarchy. It's not their fault. They feel like they have to be that way.
It's true.
Society
tells them. Especially
around
each other.
Yeah, society tells them they have to be tough, you know? You don't have to be tough, dude. You can just go home. Like,
you
can just
pretend to be tough, but also not be completely stupid. Like,
yeah.
If I It only took them however long, like what, a day to get to this thing. They obviously sure. didn't spend two nights in the woods. That shit happens to me. I'm not going further into the unknown. I'm going right. to go back to what I do know and get out of the fucking woods.
Well, not only that, but the bubbles follows the trail, and the trail was made by the giant creature.
Exactly.
And so you're basically just following that thing.
I was like, nope, I would turn around.
Nope.
Like, love my friends, but I would also love my life.
Yeah.
Like, if, like, two of my friends are dead set on going this, like, unknown way, cool, I'm gonna turn around.
It's fucking scary.
Yeah.
It was the scary. And they won't talk about it. Like, that would be a discussion, right?
Oh,
like,
I would be talking about it.
Yeah.
I'd be oversharing.
I would too. I'd be like, and that guy waits, and our lead character Luke, who has had the weirdest dream of all, mm-hmm. and has this like puncture wound in mm-hmm. his chest.
Yeah, why wasn't he sharing that with people?
So yeah, he waits so fucking long to tell them that, and it's like, I could maybe understand him not wanting to share the dream because the dream is about his friend dying,
right?
But he also has this wound on his chest that he shares with them later. But I would have been like, dude, what the fuck? Look yeah. at this. My other friend's praying naked to this creepy thing. And my other friend wet himself. Mm-hmm. And my other friend is screaming.
Yeah. This is
fucking
not
terrifying.
Not normal.
It's the fucking scariest thing ever. I love it. I think Same. It's so smart. It's so different. I've never seen anything quite like that before.
It was so beautiful the way that we see Luke's dream done, where I love yeah. the integration of the convenience store and the woods, and mm-hmm. then it getting like pulled through the wood, like the whole scene just getting pulled through the woods. I feel like
yeah.
his wild, crazy dreams are like really well portrayed, and they're really like interesting to watch.
Agreed. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool, okay, all of a sudden there's fluorescent lights flickering on, mm-hmm. you know, like a convenience store lights, and, you know, shit's about to go down when that happens, because so basically the creature stalking them is a Norse god.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Sweden, and it's a god, so it's like, okay, what's fucking scarier than that?
Yeah, seriously.
This thing has been around since the beginning of time. And he's very interesting looking.
I actually really liked, especially the like the far off glances that we get of this mm-hmm. like huge moose human creature. I think it's yeah. just like really cool and haunting and creepy.
It's very strange. I wonder how it's described in the novel. I'd like to read the novel to see how this creature is described yeah. there. Because here it's a very confusing mishmash of biological items.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
There's arms, but they're not where arms usually are. There's a human torso, but it's not where a human torso normally would be.
Right.
It's got like...
It like unfolds kind of.
Yeah. It's got kind of the structure of a, I don't know, like a dog, but it's shaped like an elk. And it's very strange. Mm-hmm. It's very creative, but I don't really understand it. Or how it works, which is good because it's a god and I'm not supposed to be able to understand how it looks. So I think it lends itself well to the story. But we had a full-on discussion about this on Slack, about trying to deconstruct what this animal, item, creature, god actually looks like.
Yeah.
Because every time you look at it, it looks a little bit different.
Yeah, no, it totally. And I feel like when I first thought, I was like, okay, I kind of get it. And then I was like, whoa. What, where did that come from? Like,
right.
it almost unfolds to be like all yeah. these different kinds of things.
It's like a bunch of different creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a human, like human form, but not in human form.
Right.
It's like, there's a human face inside the head. And then there's like
mm-hmm.
arms that dangle down, but it still uses them like human arms. It's very weird.
It's very, very weird and very interesting. Very weird.
It's, yeah, every time you look at it, you're like, oh, what? I can't quite make it out. And they keep it dark because, you know, they don't want it to look cheesy.
Yeah, no, I appreciated that for sure.
Yeah, so you can't quite always tell what you're looking at. But there is a sculpture, and I'll try to find it and post it online, that someone posted on the Slack channel, that is a sculpture of the creature. So you can kind of tell a little bit more of what's going on. I'll try and find that and post that for you guys. It's very weird and crazy and awesome.
Love it.
I liked it. I know some people aren't crazy about this movie, which I find very interesting because I think it's pretty fantastic.
I can see people not liking or appreciating the end.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's got to be that, right? Because the whole beginning and middle are friggin'.
Yeah. I feel like there's a certain creepiness to just not knowing. And then when you get to this point where it kind of like we start to realize, okay, well, this is kind of what's going on here. It's almost kind of like a King Kong kind of vibe where they take humans for sacrifice and like leave them on a pole while the creature comes forward and like steals them. So I can kind of see like people not liking or appreciating that aspect of it.
But there's a whole nother horror aspect to that part of the story where this god basically chooses random people mm-hmm. that have been through pain.
Mm-hmm. It chooses worship people, him.
Yeah, to worship him. And if you worship him, you get what, like everlasting life yeah. and you have no pain.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, if you don't do that though, you die.
Yeah.
So really it's there's no real villain here. Like the god is choosing people to be his servants basically.
Mm-hmm.
And in return he's giving them these things, but they don't necessarily want this choice. I don't know. Like, I think that they're, that in of itself, maybe if they played on that a little harder, mm-hmm. like the horror that these people are dealing with, that maybe they're not super into what they're doing. They do it a little bit with the female character, who I'm guessing is Anna, who I'm guessing is that woman they find her ID in the woods. But I don't know for
from
sure.
That, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice if she introduced herself because they do say that her driver's license expired in
1984.
And she looks fairly young. So you would think, okay, she has this like everlasting life. You know, she hasn't aged much because of this god and she's worshiping this god. I don't know. It's just, it's a very interesting thing. I think they could have played that up a little more. That maybe they don't want to be there and they feel forced into it, that they're scared of this thing.
I don't think that they are because, I mean, doesn't he address that? He, like, asks if, I feel like he asks if, like, they're, I don't know, it's, like, a frightening thing or whatever, and she's just, like.
Yeah, but if you've been living with it for, like, 30 years.
Well, right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, they know that this yeah. thing isn't going to kill them because, obviously, they bow down to it. And I don't know, like, I kind of like that openness of it. I feel like addressing all of that stuff could be like a whole other movie, but you know, like.
Sure. But I mean, just play up on their fear a little bit more. Gotcha. I think.
Did you think that they were scared of it? I didn't think they were scared of it.
She was fucking terrified of it. When it comes back.
Oh, when it comes back because everything went wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes like, I don't think that she was scared of it. Up until that point, I think that's just like this is how life went.
She's been living with it for 30 years, yeah. And she didn't feel like it would hurt her. But
when everything goes wrong, of course you're going to be like
she's still sympathizing with him, and he's obviously the next person that came after him because everyone else looks like they've been there a long fucking time,
a long time. Yes.
So I think she's the one that's most prone to want to help him.
Totally.
At least give him instruction and get him to survive. So she probably has someone to hang out with.
Yeah. Like, this is new to you. Like, she was playing yeah. her role. I think she sure. was playing her role to say, sure. you know, this is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Don't be scared. This is what's going to happen. You're going to bow. And then you're going to get all, like, all the pain's going to be gone and you're going to have everlasting life.
It's still weird.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Super weird.
I liked it, though. I really did think it was good. I enjoyed the film. It had some truly terrifying moments that were creative and different.
Yeah. I agree. I liked it.
Okay. Anything else you want to add or... I don't know that I want to go super in depth because I want people to be able to enjoy it if they haven't seen it yet.
Same. No, I really liked it. Okay. That's it. That's all I got. Both these movies were a win for me.
Yeah. I really liked that there was also a lot of substance to this story. It's really about Luke and his dealing with his grief and his issues and having to get over all of that. I mean, it's nice that there's a really strong storyline here and there's really strong characters, and I think that really helps. It's nice to see realistic friends, mm-hmm. friendships and relationships, and we'll discuss this even more next week in our episode when we're discussing female friendships mm-hmm. in film. But like, yeah, there's it's very bro-y but yeah. not over the top. It feels real,
but like, know? when Dom does erupt on Luke, it feels very honest and very genuine. Mm-hmm. And you've got Hutch mm-hmm. who's trying to like keep the peace, but we also really aren't sure how he feels about this whole thing, you know, like yeah. he knows that he values and loves all of his friends, but at the same time, like, there's a little bit of, you know, they've had that conversation, you know.
Yeah. Well, they you know, they had some sort of yes, conversation where they're angry at Luke for letting their friend die.
Right.
Which is probably how they're viewing it.
Right.
And who knows how much Luke even told them about what happened, or I don't know.
It's yeah. just,
you don't really know too much because you only really know what the characters know, which right. is nice. Like, we get a little glimpse into Hutch's and Dom's maybe side conversation they had once about their friend dying.
Right.
And maybe they're blaming Luke for it. But all in all, I think you really just get a glimpse in that when Luke finds out and Luke's really hurt by that. It feels very real. That whole fight, that whole argument feels very real.
Because, like, you know that there's...
It's painful.
You know that there's something in Luke's head where he's like, was this my fault? Like, could I have done yeah. more? What should I have done? And that's of why course. He keeps on replaying it over and over in his head. So, like, when he hears, like, his friend vocalize this, and then he starts to think, does everybody else think this?
Yeah.
It's rough. And I think it really... I mean, it came across really well and very genuine.
A lot of victim blaming.
Totally.
Yeah. Sad.
Very sad.
Although I am victim blaming too, because fucking Robert, just take off your ring and give it to the guy. God.
None of this would have happened.
Yeah.
Everyone would be alive.
I think the structure of this is really strong. I think the story is really strong. Characters really strong. Really, all in all, it's a very good film.
Agreed.
Highly recommend.
Same.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's move on then. What are we doing next, Carly?
It's totally time for our next segment, social media question of the week.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So,
what do we got going on? What's our social media question? I didn't write it, so do you memorize it?
BRB in a moment, pulling it up as we speak.
Okay.
Our social media question of the week is, you're lost in the woods. It's nighttime and raining hard. You come across a creepy shack and inside you find a statue of a creature made of straw. Would you rather try your luck out in nature or sleep in the shack?
Ooh.
On Twitter, we have Titania86 who says, I would nope out of there so fast and get as far away as possible. Cults or monsters aren't worth a dry night of sleep. She gets it.
On Instagram, we have Mi Amor Mi Corazon that says, if I'm lost, that means I've probably injured myself. I don't want to get gnawed on by a night creature, so in the shack I go. That's an interesting thought. If she's lost, she's probably hurt.
That is an interesting thought. If I'm lost, I'm probably just lost.
Yeah. Maybe she's just like, you know.
She's got her shit together more than me, yeah. probably.
Probably. Maybe she's like, you know, a very good woodswoman, and we don't even know that about her.
Yeah, I am not a good woodswoman.
No.
Nope. Boosh Moose 27 says, The Shack. Maybe the owner is lonely and made their own friends.
Is that better?
No.
No, I don't think that makes it better. The Exploding Head Horror Podcast says, sorry, I keep losing my voice. The Exploding Horror Exploding Heads Horror Podcast says, I wouldn't sleep in the shack, but I'd go in and dry off and wait it out the rain or for daybreak.
Okay.
I didn't say that right, but you know what I mean.
Stephen Banning says, sleep outside, rain tent check.
Okay. Dark Humor Girl says, I would sleep in the shack and I would definitely be wrong and suffer greatly, but I would be dry.
At least for the time being, right?
I appreciate that.
Repairman Jack says, staying outside in the rain, that statue waits for me in my nightmares.
Olive Green JJ says, I would be an idiot and try to pull the straw out of the statue to cover me while I slept.
That would probably unleash a whole other situation.
Yeah, that sounds like a really bad idea.
On Facebook, we have Fred B, who says, night plus rain equals cold. Straw is good kindling.
Wow.
With a fire gif.
It's going to make it rain. That's not at all what I was trying to say.
make it burn. Blaze, yeah.
Make exactly. it burn. Tommy B says, I think I'm risking the rain. Depending on how creepy the totem thing is, I'm not messing with no Santeria. Yeah.
Nick B says, I'd risk the cabin. The thought of spending the whole night being piss wet through is more horrifying than a straw thing. We kind of touched on this while we were talking about it. I would absolutely just pitch my tent and sleep outside.
Yeah, I mean, they have tents, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I guess it's pretty hard to pitch a tent when it's downpouring like that.
I'd probably get, like, most of my shit together in the cabin and then, like, figure out how to get it outside.
I kind of like the idea of not sleeping in the cabin, but maybe hanging out in there and drying off. Because that's probably what I would do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to fucking sleep in there.
No way. I don't know if I'd be able to, like, chill in there, though, knowing that it's upstairs. I'd be freaked out. I'd be, like, real freaked out.
Yeah, I would be totally freaked out. That's true. But I would be freaked out outside, too. You know, like, honestly, me being in the woods is just as creepy as me being in a shack with some creepy straw thing.
Yeah.
But
I'd be like, what's going to come home? Like, what's coming back?
Yeah.
Is what I would be terrified of more than anything.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know.
I'd probably walk back the way I came. That's when I would just start walking. I would just go.
You would be fucking exhausted, though.
Hell yeah, I would be, but I'd also probably be alive.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
Maybe. What if the creature still came after you?
I mean, then he was going to get me anyway.
That might be true.
At least I had
this is a hard.
Yeah,
this is a hard one.
There's a lot of factors.
All right. Well, that was a good question, Carly. Good job coming up with that one.
Thanks for making it make sense.
You made it make sense. I just added more to it. Okay, so. Let's talk. You had some stuff that you did this weekend, so why don't you talk about some of that?
So, this past week, I saw Annihilation, which I know you haven't seen it yet, but you're planning on seeing it?
I'm planning to see it today, I think.
Do it. Do it. I'm not going to say anything. We can talk about it next week, but I saw it. And then on Friday, Friday Night Frights did a lovely little 98 double feature of The Faculty and Urban Legend.
The Faculty.
And it was
fucking bringing it back.
Phenomenal. I had so much fun. And they played just a bunch of trailers of like horror movies from 1998.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Like what?
Before.
Like what?
So there was like Fallen. There was Species 2. There was... oh God, now I'm like drawing a blank, of course. I still know what you did last summer.
Cool.
There's a lot of
that sounds like fun.
A lot of gems. It was great. And like the whole it's like one of the things that I just thoroughly enjoy about living in LA is that there's so many theaters that do these throwbacks. And just do fun stuff like this every weekend. And and the people that come out are just like true fans of the genre. And so like watching this movie was just so much fun because especially like an urban legend, like all the names are coming up and then Tara Reid's name comes up and everybody just starts laughing. And like, it's just like, oh man. And
poor
like,
Tara
poor Tara Reid. And like, it was just, I don't know, like there's so many things. It was just a really fun watch and a really fun experience.
That sounds really awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I'm trying to think if I did anything else. I didn't really watch anything else. I just watched the movies. The Oscars are today. We're recording this on Sunday. So I've been...
You love the Oscars.
I freaking love the Oscars. They're like my favorite awards situation. I'm like feasting tonight and watching the Oscars. I'm very excited. I've got my ballots ready. I've seen a good number of the movies. I'm really excited to watch it.
What do you think should win Best Picture?
It's hard to say. I on principle want Get Out to win.
Sure.
I don't know how. They're really pushing it hard though. Like there's billboards and like For Your Consideration posters everywhere in LA right now for Get Out.
Well, and they keep saying that like all the older voters are like not watching the movie and saying that there's no way they're gonna vote for it, and that's bullshit.
It's such bullshit because it's such a great film.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that most of our people voting don't watch all the movies, and that was a whole thing that they've been discussing for many years mm-hmm. now. But like, I mean, if it's up for that many things,
yeah.
and you're not watching it, like that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, there's something wrong with you. You should not be allowed to vote. Like, even if for fucking modern horrors, when we do our end of the year nominations, we have to watch every fucking movie that's nominated before we can vote.
Exactly.
Like. It sucks. I understand. You don't want to watch some of these movies, but
in order to make like a good decision, like you gotta, you know, and in order for it to be fair, you can't just see one movie and then vote that one. I mean, you can, but you know, give it a shot. Old people of the Academy who listen to this show.
They totally do. They totally listen to it.
But yeah, very, very, very excited about that this evening.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. But that is all I've got.
Okay. Hey guys, sorry about that. We just noticed that the film we were going to do, Tragedy Girls, is no longer streaming on Hulu, even though it was just put up a week or two ago.
Surprise, surprise. this happens to us.
So unfortunately, instead of doing female friendships, which we were really hoping to do, we'll just wait and do that another time. So next week, let's do Veronica, which a lot of people are talking about. So I'm excited to watch it. That's on Netflix right now. And Ouija Origin of Evil, which is on HBO Go and HBO Now. So that's what we're going to be doing next week.
Change of plans.
Last minute decision, last minute change of plans. That's what happens when you only do movies that are streaming. Welcome to our world.
Good thing we're adaptable.
We are very adaptable. We always have ideas for future episodes, which help out.
Yeah.
Also, I know that I've mentioned a couple times we will be doing Listener Request Month in April. We still are doing that. We don't have the phone number for call-ins yet. But we will have that soon, and we will post it on social media and announce it on the show next week. So be ready for that. If you are overseas and you want to be a part of Listener Request Month and you don't want to call an American number, I don't blame you. You can email us, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. Get us your suggestions that way. You do not have to pick movies that are streaming. Patreon members get first dibs. That is all. We will be doing a total of 10 movies. So
many movies.
Yes, because it's 5 weeks, I believe.
I think you're five right. Weeks, I think that's why we chose that month.
That's 5 weeks, 2 films a week. So get those in soon. We will, again, have our phone number ready for you next week. All right. Well, then I think that's it for today.
Yeah.
Is there anything you would like to mention?
There is not.
Okay, thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for singing song Sequencing the Drone, and Jason Link for our amazing logo. You can visit our website for more information on them. And we have stickers to give away, so if you want some stickers, just email us. Again, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. All right, until then, until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye. Bye.
Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H, Nick B, Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Final Girls HC, and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our homepage.